Hi everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass. You're in for a new episode of It's All About Food today. Thanks for joining me. I'm here with co-host Gary DeMattei. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, you know what this week is, don't you?
Woo!
It's Party Week!
Yay!
Yes, not only was it Memorial Day weekend this past weekend, but it's Gary's birthday on Thursday. And if you'd like to reach out and wish him a happy birthday, you know where to find us, info@realmeals.org, or you can also find us at Facebook at Responsible Eating and Living. All kinds of places. Yeah, we're everywhere. We tweet. We're on Instagram. We're even on Pinterest.
We are?
We are.
Wow, that's right. Hey, we do really well on Pinterest.
We do. We have a lot of people looking at our food there, which is nice.
How do you find us on Pinterest? Just Responsible Eating and Living?
I think it's Real Worldwide.
Real Worldwide.
Yeah.
Wide. Yeah, so it's Party Week.
It's party and week.
How do you party in the shadow of this pandemic? How do you stay upbeat? How do you not get depressed, down in the dumps, doused with despair, droopy, drowsy, dopey?
Dilly.
Dilly.
Is dilly? No.
Well, dill.
Dill.
Food.
Food. I've been waiting for our dill to arrive. It's not here yet.
Yeah, we ran out of dill.
We ran out of dill, and I cannot make borscht without dill.
No borscht.
I've tried it. It's just not the same.
Without dill. There's a lot of things you can't do without dill. You're a dill of a person. You're a dilly.
I'm dilly.
And you don't dally.
That's true.
You're a dilly that doesn't dally.
But the point is...
How do you do this?
Like, our society already has a thing with depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been getting worse and worse over the decades.
It really has.
And... do we have a reason for that? There's lots of theories. There's lots of reasons. And certainly food has to do with it.
Yeah. So today we're going to dedicate, if we're going to continue with the D words.
Yes.
We're going to dedicate some of the program to depression.
Yeah.
And how it can be battled, dealt with, put in the dumpster.
Flush it down.
Flush it down the toilet.
Okay.
Okay, so you've interviewed Jay Kuo on this program, Broadway producer.
Yeah, I remember Jay.
Yeah, composer.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great guy. On his Facebook page, I do follow Jay's Facebook page because he is quite...
He's a mover and a shaker.
An informative member of the Broadway community and just a great guy. We broke some bread with Jay once.
That's right, at Francia, Korean restaurant in New York City, Manhattan.
We're both jonesing for some Francia, aren't we? I mean, we're just both. You and I are always talking about where's the first place we're going to go when this thing lifts.
Oh, my God. We're having such withdrawal symptoms for vegan restaurant food, especially Asian food.
Marty's V-Burger, Francia, down the street at Green Symphony,
we miss you.
Candle Cafe, all of our favorite restaurants. Anyway, on his page, he said, 100,000 dead is too stunning a number for the human brain to process. We will need art to connect the heart to this tragedy. We will need art to make it real. I thought that was beautiful.
It is. Art to make it real. Art to make it responsible eating and living.
Exactly. And you know what? That's what I was thinking too. But yeah. I'm sure Jay wasn't thinking that.
No, but it's
But that's
it's
what
close.
We're all about is
right.
Trying to make it real. And we're trying to do that with food. And art. And that's what this program is all about. And it's from the heart. Food and art from the heart. So how do we deal with depression? We've talked about depression before, but I think now it's a little more serious because so many mixed messages, so many different people saying different things, so many...
Well, the first thing is don't reach for the pill bottle.
No.
Because for the most part, meds don't work.
They do not.
And they have so many side effects.
Absolutely.
The first thing is the basics. Are you eating well? Are you eating a whole food plant diet? And if you're depressed, just like any health crisis, because depression is a health crisis, in my opinion, you want to do the very best. You want to put in your body only things that will nourish and help you. You want to avoid the foods that are going to bring you down. And one of those things is sugar, and I'm going to make a segue here and then come back to it.
I agree with you. It truly is sugar. I've been a control group this week for sugar.
We've been a control group by accident.
By accident, and it really, it put me, as my brother would say, in the cheap seats for like 48 hours.
So I like to talk about when you get on a healthy diet, you increase your vitality. And your body is able to rid itself of stuff it doesn't want very efficiently. And sometimes that doesn't feel very good, your body trying to get the stuff out. But when you're used to consuming all this stuff, your body gives up. And it can't rid itself of stuff. And you just learn how to survive in this way with all the poisons until something really dramatic happens. Now, we don't eat sugar very often. It's a treat. We will have a wonderful birthday cake for Gary. But still, our cakes and treats aren't that sweet.
They're not laden with sugar, as opposed to something you made as a control group.
Yeah. So we mentioned a few weeks ago, thanks to a listener, Donna, and please, there's no negativity here. This is all love.
Oh,
we
yeah.
started this apple cake project and we're having a lot of fun with
Nothing but love here.
Since I didn't ever have the original apple cake that Donna remembers that her family that has come down in her family, I wanted to make it, at least a veganized version of it. So this apple cake is made with flour, sugar, butter, eggs, and apples and cinnamon. That's really it.
Right.
So
pretty basic.
Pretty basic. And I've been making a gluten-free, no sugar version of it. And they've been tasty, but I wasn't sure about how it would compare to the original.
So you made the original, but you made a vegan version.
I made a vegan version. So we use really good wheat flour. We use Einkorn. And in my opinion, if you're going to use wheat, this is the only wheat you should use. Organic. It's the original kind of wheat that's not hybridized. And so that's what we use.
It's the real deal.
It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then instead of dairy butter, we used vegan butter. We happen to make our own vegan butter here from Miyoko's.
At the butter churn all day long. Just continues churning.
We use the homemade vegan pantry recipe from Miyoko Shinner. It's very easy to make. And because we have cashew yogurt that we make all the time, we use the vegan butter recipe that's cultured. Thank you.
And it means that you add some yogurt to it, vegan yogurt to it, and it gives it that cultured butter taste. It's delicious.
It's delicious. So, and again, a treat.
A treat, yeah. It's in our freezer. We hardly ever break it out. Once in a great while.
So the Einkorn flour, the vegan butter. I made a vegan egg with ground flax meal and water. And then we used Florida Crystals, a vegan version, organic, of sugar. It's sugar, folks. It may have a fancy name. It may
but
not
it's organic.
Be,
There's
it
no
may
char-
not be filtered through charred animal bones, but it's sugar.
But it's sugar.
And there's a lot in this original recipe.
There's a lot of sugar in it.
A lot of sugar.
And it's delicious.
It's delicious.
I mean, when you take that first bite, you're like, oh wow.
This is fun. This is exciting.
This is a party in the mouth, and it's party week. So we figured, you know, what could go wrong?
Now, wait a minute. Wait, hold that thought. What I learned from that experiment is the texture of the cake part. So it's not really a cake. It's more like a cookie. But using the wheat flour, the butter, and the sugar gave it more of a crumb rather than a gummy texture that the gluten-free flours with no sugar.
The gluten-free flours with no sugar, the product has been coming out more like a bread pudding. We wanted to see if that would be the case if we used the exact recipe, only veganized it.
Right.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was like a cookie. Like they said it would be. It was like a snickerdoodle.
Right.
And it was very sweet.
I make these mini versions, not a whole big one.
Right.
So it's half the recipe. And we ate half of it.
Yeah. So it's about a
6-inch.
It's about a 6-inch cake, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
6-inch cake. And we ate 3 inches of it.
Anyway, a few hours later, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, it was quite the experiment.
It brought us down, way down.
Well, it brought me crashing. And you handled it pretty well. Your vitality filtered it out. But I hadn't been eating sugar for a long time. And this was the first little bit I had. And wow.
Major mood disorder.
48 hours worth of depression.
Major mood disorder.
Yeah. And
yeah.
It was just crazy. And I kept saying to myself, this has to be from the sugar, this large dose of sugar. Maybe, maybe not, who knows, but I'm fine now.
Thank you.
It filtered through.
Yeah. Well, we made some really nice vegetable juices with beets and carrots and greens.
That kind of cleaned it right up.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as we had that juice, I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm good. And it wasn't like the juice was minus any sugar because, as you just said, it had carrots and beets and that there's a lot of
natural sweeteners with fiber, which is really important.
Natural sweeteners in that. So anyway, continuing our conversation about depression and how food can relate, this could also be a reason. A lot of folks could be sheltering in place. They could be eating a lot of extra sugar, drinking a lot of alcohol, which has a lot of sugar in it.
Absolutely. It's this cycle that makes it really difficult to get out because you think, I'll just reach for that cookie. I'll just reach for that piece of cake. It's going to feel good. It's comfort food. But it doesn't make you feel good.
No.
In a few hours, it brings you deeper.
Especially
down.
If you've been off it for as long as I've been off it as a regular part of my daily diet. I mean, there was a time, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate, where you had to have a candy bar. You had to have something with processed sugar in it to get you through the day and caffeine and then come home and have some alcohol. And so that's a lot of sugar.
I think the difference is, as I mentioned before, when you're on a really healthy diet, whole food plant diet, when you eat something that is very refined, you feel it and your body responds instantly. And it may not feel good, but it's fast and your body gets rid of it. And that's good. That's vitality. But with people who constantly eat this way, the body doesn't react. They can't feel the difference, but the mood and the health will go down and down and down cumulatively.
Very good, Karen. That's tough to say.
I'm not saying it again. Cumulatively.
Everybody, let's say it together.
Cumulatively.
Very good. But I agree with you. This apple cake that you're making is delicious without all that sugar.
Absolutely. I've got one more pass that I'm going to try to see if I can get a texture that's a little more similar.
A little crummier.
A little crummier. Exactly. Crummy, not gummy.
Crummy, not gummy. But gummy, as I said, it's really more of a bread pudding. And I love bread pudding.
And it's really only gummy when it's right out of the oven because a lot of gluten-free baked products, once they cool, they firm up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's delicious.
Okay, stay tuned. We're going to post it soon. But we're not quite
there
yet.
That's the update on the apple cake.
The update on the apple cake.
Isn't that exciting?
And sugar. Now, another thing for depression, and this is, I don't hear enough people talking about this. We talk about the importance of organic food. And I'm going to underline organic food again. Not because of the food that's genetically modified. Although I'm saying stay away from genetically modified food. Lots of reasons for that. But eating organic will guarantee that you're not getting glyphosate residue in any of your foods, not just the GMO foods that have been grown Roundup Ready so that they can use the Roundup Ready herbicide with the glyphosate in it, all those toxins, but the grains that have been desiccated with glyphosate. Who knew this? We like discovered this a few years ago, that farmers were using glyphosate not as a weed killer, but as a desiccant. And all of these grains, conventional industrial grains, not organic grains, have residues. All of these children's products, it breaks my heart, Cheerios and other things, have been found to have significant residues of glyphosate in them. And glyphosate affects your gut bacteria. And we know that a healthy gut gives you a healthy mood. And an unhealthy gut brings you down, 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 down.
Outer space. Seriously, it either brings you down or brings you out in space somewhere. It's just crazy. So those Cheerios that you're sprinkling on the high chair tray for your children.
Breaks my heart.
Just remember that they are laden with glyphosate.
You want to get the organic brand that looks like Cheerios, but isn't the conventional non-organic
brand.
It's
still an O, but it's not so cheery with glyphosate. Okay.
Right. So beware. Beware and do your best to buy organic. It makes a difference.
Right.
In your mood.
In your mood.
And then the other thing is there's a supplement called DHA. And now it comes with EPA. These are abbreviations. I'm not even going to pronounce what they stand for. DHA and EPA, our bodies naturally make them from omega-3 fatty acids. And where do we get omega-3 fatty acids from, everybody?
Where, Karen? Where? Okay. Where do we get them? Where? I want to know now.
The mainstream world will tell you from salmon, wild salmon.
Boo.
And we tell you flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and walnuts, too. And the trick between getting...
Flaxseeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and walnuts, too.
Ooh.
Are you a good seed or a bad seed?
I'm not a seed at all.
Are you a good witch or a sandwich?
You digress. This is D-Day, Gary. D-Mate for depression and digressing. And DHA.
DHA.
Whew. Okay. The reminder about omega-3 fatty acids. We want to consume the plant foods that have omega-3 fatty acids, and we want to avoid the foods that are too high in omega-6 fatty acids, which can be beneficial, but we don't want too much. And where do you get too much omega-6 fatty acids, everybody?
Where, Karen? Where? Tell us.
Vegetable oils.
Oils.
Vegetable oils. And you find a lot of vegetable oils in restaurant food, in processed food, in junk foods.
Yeah. And when you eat a lot of oil, it's kind of like when you eat a lot of sugar.
And salt. I mean, throw the salt in there, too.
Salt, sugar, and fat.
Hey.
It's not where it's at. Okay, we'll be right back. No, I'm kidding. We're going to stay here for the whole hour.
We're going to stay. Thanks, Gary. We want the ideal ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids. Not too much omega-6, just enough omega-3s. People aren't sure even how much the ratio is. Is it 4-to-1? Is it 1-to-1? A lot of people are getting 15-to-1, which is way too much. But the point is, get a lot of omega-3 fatty acids. Try and skimp on the omega-6s, and you're going to make DHA and EPA. But as we age, we're not as efficient as making DHA, EPA, and people like my favorite medical doctor, Dr. Furman, says we absolutely must supplement. So
can help you with depression as well.
And it can help you with so many things, including depression. Thank you for bringing me back there.
No, but I mean, that's where you were going with this.
That's where I was going. Absolutely.
So you take that DHA, and we take the DHA that's vegan.
You could take a quality fish oil, but we're vegan here, and we don't recommend using fish for anything, including your depression.
No, let them swim in the sea.
Yes, fish are your friends, folks. They're not food, and they're not supplements.
Right.
And get the DHA where they get it from algae.
Algae.
What's it all about? Algae. I knew you were going to go there.
I went there. It's about everything. Algae is where the fish get their DHA, so why not go right to the source?
Exactly.
Right to the source.
Now, here's another thing. I have not tried this. But I've read a lot about it. I've read about people who have had success with it, and I've spoken to people who have had success with it. It's a technique called Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT. It's also known as tapping.
Tapping.
And it's not the kind of tapping I've been annoying my downstairs neighbor with a few times a week.
You've been annoying your downstairs neighbor with it, and you're getting awfully good.
Thank you, Gary. Single, double, and triple steps.
Time steps.
Yes. I'm working them. But
yes.
This is something completely different. It's a technique that kind of helps you re-script or reprogram traumatic events so that you can live your life. In a happy, healthy way.
Yeah. And forget about it.
So if you haven't heard about it and you have post-traumatic stress disorder or you're feeling especially down, you might want to look into it.
And what's it called again?
It's called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, or tapping.
Tapping.
It's called, the informal name is tapping, because while you're thinking certain things, you're tapping certain parts of your head, and your face, and your chest, and you're doing these light tapping things while you're thinking certain things. And this is supposed to help reprogram those problem emotions.
Now, you did something like this when you were going through cancer. What was that?
This was a little different and something that I modified, and it was called the healing codes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say anything bad about the folks that created the healing codes, but I was very wary when a friend of mine sent me the entire package. And it's an expensive package. And I'll tell you, she copied it. So somebody gifted it to her and she made me a copy. And it came with DVDs and a book. And what it was a series of hand positions, and you would focus your hand to different parts of the face.
Right.
And you would pick a particular emotion, and they had pages and pages on each emotion, and you would think about things in your life that had happened that were upsetting, and they had phrases and suggestions for you to say to kind of re-script them, and then you would put your hand in these different positions and point them at your face, kind of close, and you could kind of feel the energy between your hand and your face.
It's kind of like a little Reiki thing.
It's like I thought it was a little like a Reiki thing.
I remember you did it every night before bed. I just went with it. I thought you might have been going out of your mind.
Yeah, well, I made my own modified version of this thing. I didn't go with their book and all the things that they recommended to think about. I just did the hand positions, pointing at my face, thinking about something pleasant, and they had a formula where you would rearrange the hand positions. Like, you would do the one pointing at your temple, and then the one pointing at your chin, and the one pointing at your heart. I don't remember where they were. And you'd mix them up, and they had these different variations called codes.
Right.
And what I found was it really helped relax me and get me focused for my meditation that we would do together. We would do...
Yeah. And like I've always said, you did everything you possibly could do to get through this disease. And it was a lot of hard work.
Yes.
And that's kind of what you have to do when you go through any trauma or any post-traumatic stress or any depression, when you're experiencing any of that. And it's very difficult to get yourself up to that level to say, okay, I'm going to take care of myself. And I think the way to start is food. Is to really immediately attack what's on your plate. And little by little, it starts to make you feel better. Cutting out the sugar, even though you think you can't live without it, you can.
And you can live better without it.
You can live
better. As we proved this week.
Cutting out the processed oils and using seeds as your source of fat and nuts. And just going plant-based. That's basically what we're saying.
Over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
So we
hope that music and art. You need a lot of that, too.
Music, you can listen to music, play music, sing music, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It can help.
Yeah. Now, just because you're going vegan doesn't mean you're going to get products from the grocery store that are pure. And there's going to be some hidden ingredients in your store-bought products, too, if you're vegan, that you think, well, I'm vegan, I'm getting this great corn tortilla. But then you look at the label, and what do you find?
Oh, my goodness. So
in this week's post that Karen put on the Responsible Eating and Living page, she did a lot of research, and it's called Vegan Tortilla Tutorial.
I'm glad you said it, because I don't know that I could say it.
Right?
It's a corn tortilla tutorial. Woo!
Corn tortilla tutorial. There we go.
Corn tortilla tutorial.
Yeah, and you did a lot of work on this, and you did some research, and let us know what you found out.
Yeah, so one of the fun things about eating vegan, one of our favorite cuisines is Mexican, because beans are so good for you, and whole grains are good for you.
And guacamole.
And you make a little guacamole, and you can make a little chopped salad, and you stuff it all in a tortilla, like a corn tortilla or a flour tortilla.
Like a soft taco, a burrito, a tostada, whatever you want to make.
And it's a relatively safe food to get in a restaurant when we go to restaurants.
When we went to restaurants. But we're in the epicenter, and we're seeing a lot of folks already breaking out and going to restaurants. And the numbers are spiking in their areas, and it's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah. Now, Mexican restaurants used to use a lot of lard, at least in the United States. They've been stepping away from that because most people don't want lard in their food. But when it comes to corn tortillas, you think, if you even think about what's in a corn tortilla, it's corn, water, maybe a little salt. And traditionally, that's what it's supposed to be. It's a specially treated corn.
With lime. Not the lime that you put inside your shot of tequila.
The mineral lime. It's a process that I don't want to have to pronounce, but I could try. It's an alkaline process. No, I'm just going to skip it.
Skip it.
I'll skip it. But when you read a package of corn tortillas, it just makes me so mad. Why do we need cellulose gum, propionic acid, benzoic acid, phosphoric acid, dextrose, guar gum, amylase, sodium propionate, methylparaben, propylparaben, and then there's something called CMC. They won't even tell you what it is. They just use the abbreviation CMC, carboxymethylcellulose, a sodium salt derivative of cellulose. Anyway, cellulose isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's fiber. But why do you need it? Why do you need it in these products? Well, you need it to extend the shelf life. You need it to maybe make the tortilla nice and moist as it stays in the package
on the
shelf for months until you buy it.
And it's moldy when you bring it home.
Well, not if it has benzoic acid in it. That keeps its, quote, freshness. Anyway, there's a lot of crap in tortillas, and it makes me angry.
You know, a lot of crap in most tortillas.
Not just tortillas. They put a lot of crap in most industrial foods, and we've allowed it to happen.
We have found a couple of brands of tortillas that we have gone to in the past that we have searched high and low for, that we have read the label, and it said just corn, water, and lime. So we get those. Organic, of course. Organic corn, because you don't want to get GMO.
Yeah, you don't want to get GMO corn.
Because of this, we made a purchase.
And we bought a tortilla press.
We bought a tortilla.
Ay, 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 it's wonderful.
It's really fantastic. And we have a little video on the Responsible Eating and Living site for all of you out there to use and look at and see how easy it is to make your own tortillas with just organic masa harina, which we found at
Bob's Red Mill.
And we love Bob.
We love Bob. Thanks. A caution, though. His recipe says it makes 24 tortillas. It doesn't. It makes about 13 or 14, but that's fine.
Yeah. And we might have been making them a little bigger, but I doubt it because you brought out the tape measure. And I measured them. And they were exactly 6 inches. But, you know, we could be doing it wrong. Give Bob the benefit of the doubt. The company is owned by the employees.
That's right. It's employee owned. So you may remember we talked about tortillas before. Corn tortillas and the sweet potato cassava tortillas we made, but I rolled them before. And you can roll them, yes, absolutely. It just takes more time. And I know everybody doesn't want to take a lot of time in the kitchen, and the tortilla press really makes it so much easier and faster.
If you need a workout during the sheltering in place, then get your rolling pin out. But if you want to just get this assembly line moving, get that tortilla press. We bought a dandy tortilla press.
Victorious is the brand.
Yeah. You'll see it on the video if you watch
cast
the video.
Cast iron. Some of them are aluminum. Some of them are wooden.
Yeah.
We went with the cast iron.
We went with the big one.
Yeah. And they recommend lining them with cut pieces of Ziploc bags. We use parchment paper. You can use wax paper, parchment paper. And we reuse our parchment paper.
Right. We wash our parchment paper, thanks to Karen. And I thought it was a little crazy at first, but now I'm doing it too. So, hey. There you have it.
I don't like waste.
No. Waste not, want not.
Okay, the next exciting thing we did during party week.
Party week. Woo! Party month.
It's funny how we party, isn't it?
Yeah. We made tofu.
You know, speaking of depression, we got two presses. Tortilla press and tofu press. And we're pressing. We're not depressing. We're just pressing.
We're doing some major pressing.
And it's making us happy.
Yeah. Next thing we're going to do is break out the iron. Okay. But seriously, folks. We'll start.
That took me a minute.
You just got that.
I did. Okay. We made tofu. How many years have I been talking about making tofu?
You did it.
Yes. We did it. And it's fabulous.
Yes, all of the rumors are true.
Oh my God, it's the best tofu we've ever had.
And so easy to make.
Oh my goodness.
If you have the right tools, cheesecloth, the
Nigari, the magnesium chloride.
A big pot of boiling water.
And the press and soybeans.
And soy milk. A big pot of boiling soy milk.
Yes. So here's something. I don't know who's noticed this out there. But we talked about the soy milk having a painty, beany taste, and we learned, thanks to one of our listeners and opening up Miyoko's Homemade Vegan Pantry book about soy milk, that when you soak your soybeans first and then cook them, you get this paint-like smell and a beany flavor. So we don't soak our soybeans anymore. We just put them right in boiling water, cook them, drain them, blend them, and then filter them and then cook them. And then we have this wonderful soy milk. Well, I can taste in commercial brand tofu a subtle beany and paint-like taste. It was that flavor, only much more subtle than was in our soy milk. And it wasn't in our
homemade tofu.
From our homemade soy milk.
It's such an amazing product, isn't it? It just kind of cooperates.
Cooperates as it coagulates.
It cooperates as it coagulates.
Yeah, it was so yummy. You could just eat it plain.
It's almost like when you're making it, you realize how perfect a food this is. Because it's so easy to make if you have the right simple ingredients.
A few simple ingredients and a few good tools. There's always the leftover okara.
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 This week on okara, okara salad.
Would you believe that Gary has become a major okara fanatic?
Yeah, it's great. The leftover stuff. After you squeeze out all of the milk, you've got this stuff left over in the nut milk bag, and it's called okara.
Okara.
Okara. It behaves incredibly well. Remember tuna salad, for those of you out there who are vegan and haven't had it in a while? Well, if you put the same ingredients in a mess of okara that you put in your favorite egg salad or tuna salad recipe, you aren't going to miss that stuff one bit. It's fabulous.
You even made a mayonnaise with the okara.
I made a mayonnaise, yeah. In Miyoko's Vegan Pantry Cookbook, she has an oil-free mayo that she uses cashews and tofu. And instead of the tofu, I just used the okara, and it came out fabulous. It was great. You blend that all up together, and you have this delicious oil-free mayo that tastes just like mayonnaise. I want to tell you, it was fabulous. So I added that to my okara, I'll call it untuna salad. And the secret ingredient in that, in addition to the chopped red onions and the celery and the apples, was this dulse that we have.
Oh, yeah. It's a sea vegetable. Dulse.
It's a sea vegetable. The same place the fish get their fishy taste.
The sea.
The sea. And these little vegetables that are growing in the sea, that when you eat them, they taste like?
Fish.
Fish. But apparently they're not fish. They taste like sea vegetables.
Yes.
So fish tastes like sea vegetables.
There you go.
So right there.
Connect the dots,
Gary. Connect the dots. Cut out the middle person. Cut out the middle animal and just go directly to the source.
That's right.
And you've got yourself.
And it's good. Gary's okara tuna salad is really yummy. Can we have some later?
Yeah, of course. We'll have a big old scoop of it and we'll pretend we're at a diner.
Next chapter in the soy milk tofu project is making yuba. I plan on doing that this week and I'll let you know about it. Next week, that's the bean curd skin.
Oh, you can make all kinds of stuff with
and
that.
And I find that very addicting. When we go to restaurants and get the veggie duck.
Lawrence will be so jealous.
That's right. My friend Lawrence and I just go nuts. You don't go nuts over because it usually is made with mushrooms.
Yeah, no, I like yuba because I think that's how they make the veggie meats.
You could wrap it around tofu or tempeh and maybe and bake it. And it's like a crunchy skin.
Right. It's like that skin on the perish the thought poultry.
Yeah, but better.
But
much better.
Because
it's all good for you.
And no one had to die. How's the discussion about asthma going? Are we still having people ask us about that? I know we've had some people talking about asthma and wondering if a vegan diet can help with that.
Well, you know what's interesting? Most ailments, chronic diseases, autoimmune diseases, allergies, they can all improve, and if not, be cured from a whole food plant diet. Not all of them, but it's not going to hurt.
Right.
And most likely, it's going to make a dramatic difference. And asthma is included in that. One reason why we wanted to talk about asthma, some people were asking me about it this week, but if you read the symptoms of asthma, shortness of breath, wheezing, cough, fatigue, chest pain, and tightness. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like COVID-19.
Right.
So I imagine if you have asthma, this coronavirus is extra scary.
Right.
Because you're already compromised. And
so some of the things you can do is to kick the dairy.
Absolutely. So you want to kick the things that inflame, and dairy is one of those things. And low nutrient food, high in animal protein, high calorie, refined junk foods, and fat. This is increased with inflammation. Inflammation in your airways, and you want to reduce that inflammation. And that's true for asthma. It's true for COVID-19. It's springtime, and this is a time when a lot of asthma sufferers get triggers. The weather is constantly changing, especially in New York. We get hot, we get cold, we get wet, we get dry. It's constantly changing, and that can affect you. And there's plenty of things. Pollen running around in the air is a big trigger. Allergens like mold.
Well, here's where face masks might come in handy.
Might be helpful.
To filter out some of this pollen in the air.
If you're going outside.
If you're going outdoors, yeah.
There are lots of different triggers. But the idea is, if you reduce the inflammation in your body, you're going to respond less. You're going to be triggered less. And that could completely turn around your asthma or some of your allergies, or at least reduce the impact.
Right. Well, I know a lot of folks who have had asthma, have kicked the dairy because they've gone to a plant-based diet and their asthma went away.
Yeah, I do too.
The biggest problem that we always talk about on this show when we tell people kick the dairy is cheese. They can't give up cheese. And so
that's exactly what they say. Oh, I love my cheese.
I can't give up cheese. I'd rather suffer with asthma. That never really made sense to me. But there are ways that you can even get around cheese, and that's plant-based cheeses. And there are more and more of them out there and more recipes online. And again, going back to the Miyoko's Vegan Pantry, she has a lot of recipes for cheese. She makes some great cheese. I know a lot of the plant-based cheeses are being bought at alarming rates, which is good for the people who manufacture them. As we're doing with tortillas and as we're doing with tofu, you can make your own cheese at home, and it's a really fun project. And we've got some recipes. Your cheese, Karen, your almond cheese.
Yes.
That's on the
website. Gotten a lot of hits.
It's such a great cheese.
You know, and it's so easy to make.
It is so easy to make. And you can do it with cashews. You don't need to do it with almonds.
Right. That particular cheese doesn't even have the enzymes in it. It's not an aged cheese. It's made with agar.
Right.
So some might call it a nut jello.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really good, and you can flavor it with sun-dried tomatoes or jalapenos.
And I'll tell you something, guys. This cheese recipe that we have at the Responsible Eating and Living website, I think it's under our Halloween episode. It's a cheese fondue.
Mm.
Just make that and drizzle it over some of our homemade tortillas, and you've got yourself one big cheese party.
That's a nacho party.
Oh my gosh. It's fabulous. And it's so easy to make. You just need some raw cashews, a little nutritional yeast, a little miso, some lemon juice or some kind of acid that gives it that little tang. You make that stuff. Check out the video. It's fun to watch Halloween videos in spring, I think.
Yeah, we don't know what day it is anymore, right?
No.
I wanted to mention something that I noticed this morning making cashew yogurt. We talked about this on the show many, many
times.
That's
right. You made a big batch of cashew yogurt this morning.
And it's now secondhand. It's a routine for me. And I have to admit that I talked about this too once before, having a little fear before starting something new. Like this tofu thing. I never made tofu. I always wanted to. I read about it. And I used three different recipes when I made this batch of tofu, just to check everybody and see how everybody did it. But there was like a little fear of the unknown, maybe a fear of failure, whatever it is. And the yogurt especially was scary because you're growing bugs and you don't want to grow the bad bugs and make a whole batch of penicillin or something that's not too good for you.
Yeah.
So I was always concerned and worried, and I've been doing it regularly now, and I make it very quickly, and it's easy, and I'm not panicking. It's just like crawling, walking, running, folks. Practice, repetition, it makes it easier.
Just like the tap dancing, just like the tap dancing.
Yeah, so we're talking about making things yourself, and you're thinking, why do I want to do that? Who has time for that? I'm recommending that you start with one project, get used to doing it. It becomes part of your repertoire, and then you add another one. These aren't hard to do.
Staying busy like that aids in battling depression as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Gardening, for example.
Gardening, there are studies that show that gardening has a dramatic positive effect on mood.
Right. So if you have a little...
Anything you can grow.
We don't have a lot of land here in Queens, the epicenter. But our counter in the kitchen is filled with little things sprouting. Little butts of lettuce and celery.
Our celery have roots now.
And we have three avocado trees.
Yeah, they haven't done anything yet, but
we're waiting.
We're waiting.
And it's really...
It's fun.
Lovely to hear you speak to them. I mentioned this last week or the week before, who knows. But I said, Karen is now the celery whisperer. She talks to the celery plants. And we're getting soil today, so we'll be able to start potting some
That's
of these
part
plants.
Of the party. That's one of Gary's party birthday
week.
Gifts.
Woo! It's party week.
We bought a shelf system out on our terrace, and we have a lot of terracotta pots that are empty, and we're going to fill them with organic potting soil and fill them with plants.
One more thing that might aid with depression. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that planting party during party week. Is light therapy, correct?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, no. My pleasure.
Yeah, with depression, I don't know why we didn't bring that up before, but our bodies are on a cycle.
Well, I was thinking of sun, growing, gardening.
Exactly.
And gardening and the sun, there you go. You've got two things happening right there that are positive.
If you're suffering from depression or just want to feel a little better, your daily cycle needs to go something like this. You wake up early, and the earlier the better, like 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. is the ideal time to get light, morning light. We're not there yet. We're like at 9 to 10 a.m.
8:30-ish, yeah.
Yeah. You get morning light. Better if you can go outside, get some morning sun. You need to see the light. It affects everything in your body. You make vitamin D, and it's really dramatic on your mood. It does tremendously wonderful things.
So many people we know are suffering from low vitamin D now.
No. I know. And I thought everybody knew they should be taking vitamin D, but apparently not.
And the sun helps you with vitamin D.
That's the best way to get vitamin D. Yes.
Yeah, and so many folks are afraid of the sun. They don't want to get skin cancer.
Yeah,
but
so morning sun is good.
Morning sun is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people who will not go out in the sun anymore because they're so afraid of global warming, and the sun's rays are stronger apparently now. But yeah. Morning sun is your best bet.
Right. Yeah, that really helps with depression. So if you can arrange your schedule to wake up early and go to bed relatively early, that's the idealist for your cycle. Now, some of us are night owls, and that's fine.
So just stay up all night until about 6,
get some
morning sun and go to bed, right? Well, that's right. One way around it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so a lot of really fun, wonderful things that we're doing during party week. What about you? What are you all doing during my party week? Should be your party week.
I'm opening up the champagne, Gary.
Yeah, we don't have any champagne.
No, we don't.
We'll open up the green juice.
We'll make some green juice.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you, per your request,
yes,
the chocolate cake recipe that I created for my birthday.
Yes, which is low on sugar.
It has sugar in it, but not as much as was in that apple
Plus,
cake.
Plus, we used the coconut sugar.
We did.
Now, you've talked about this lots and lots and lots on your program. The differences between things like coconut sugar and agave and maple syrup and...
The bottom line is there really isn't much difference.
Right.
They're all refined sweeteners. And some are better, a little better than others. But you have to keep in mind that there's no healthy sweetener. None of them are essential for consuming. They're
right.
Treats.
Right. And I bought another treat that's often discussed, and there's lots of arguments about salt. We bought a very interesting
You
salt.
Got a rock salt.
Yeah, for my salt grinder. And we never use salt, but it just looks so pretty in the salt grinder. It's now like a decoration on the countertop.
Well, we had an idea we might make some ice cream.
Yeah.
And you need a little salt to add to the ice to lower the melting point so that the water that's melting stays cold while you're freezing the ice cream.
Right. A lot of people are going to be making their own ice cream. I recommend...
Do it yourself. That's where it's at.
I recommend making a vegan ice cream, and they're really, really just as wonderful and creamy and delicious as the dairy ice creams. That's a great way to start to see how dairy has nothing to do with good flavor and good taste.
No, sir.
You can make it with nut milks.
They're the best.
I mean, right before this thing hit, remember we walked into that gelato store?
Oh, yes, in Manhattan. I wonder how those kids are
doing.
A brother and sister team. Where were they from? They were
Italy.
Italy, yeah.
They were making gelato, and they were making it plant-based.
It was good.
It was that was like the last thing we had before we then went home. It was one of my last acting classes before the COVID-19 shelter-in-place hit, and we haven't been back. I hope they're there.
I wanted to mention, today is an important day.
Oh,
another
right.
reason to party and celebrate. The film Code Blue. The Code Blue documentary. You can find it at codebluedoc.com. This is a documentary that was created by Dr. Stancic. I interviewed her on my show sometime a little over a year ago. I'll include the link on this post. She has an incredible story, and if you know anyone who is suffering from multiple sclerosis, you must have them see this film. People do not need to suffer from multiple sclerosis. Many have cured themselves or at least reduced the symptoms dramatically. And how did they do it? I'm listening, everybody. Whole food plant diet.
That's right.
Exercise, meditation. These things work.
They certainly do.
And the film is great. And in addition to her story, there are many other doctors and healthcare professionals that share their stories and some of the things they're doing. There's the doctor that takes his patients on walks and doctors who prepare food with their patients.
I want a doctor like that.
I want a doctor like that.
Is anybody out there a doctor listening to this program who is like that? I want you to be my doctor.
Well, the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, which is another thing all of our doctors should know about, is an organization that has doctors like this.
Right.
That realize the connection between health, lifestyle, and food.
Because it's all about food, Karen.
It's all about food. But this film, when I first saw it, was...
It's called Code Blue.
Code Blue, yeah. And because not a lot of people are talking about healing from multiple sclerosis.
Right. They're just trying to make money off of it.
And it's an autoimmune disease. And many people who are suffering from other kinds of autoimmune diseases can also benefit from watching this film because you can also significantly improve your health and wellness by the things that are recommended in this film.
You know, why are there people out there who want to make money off of something like this? And why are there people out there that want to help people with stuff like this? I think that was one of our discussions that we had that you wanted to talk about this week, and maybe we'll save that for next week. But it's just such a cruel world on the one hand, but such a beautiful world on another hand. The messages are confused because there is good and there is evil. And there's a lot of these doctors who do want to do good.
There are. And there are some that want to do good and have been very misinformed with their education.
Right.
And they can get religious about it, where they've been taught something and they believe it.
Right. And they do not want to hear anything different.
They do not want to hear anything
different.
They'll just
put the hand up in your face.
Yes, no, I've been taught this and this is right.
And I went to medical school and I know what I'm talking about and you don't.
And we have to understand that knowledge is dynamic. We're constantly learning new things or understanding things in a different way as we improve our tools and our understanding that opens our eyes to things we didn't know or didn't have the capacity to even understand. It's constantly changing.
Well, this doctor that you just mentioned, what was this doctor's name again?
Dr. Stancic.
Dr. Stancic. Sounds like a good doctor.
She's a lovely, lovely person. I follow her on Instagram. She's got lovely posts. She's a beautiful human being.
And we want her to be our doctor.
Yeah. Well, I think she's in New Jersey.
Oh, excellent.
Not so far to go.
Some other news really quickly. COVID-19 sparks a rebirth of the local farm movement. The CSAs are coming back and they've got waiting lists now.
That's exciting. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Small farms that are supported by their community, and people win because they get healthy food and there's no middleman.
We're talking about organic vegetables here, folks, supplied to you in boxes once a week.
And this is one of the freshest ways to get food when it's the most nutritious. The farmer harvests the food, puts it in a box, and delivers it.
Right.
Bang.
Locally grown.
Yeah.
It's a really wonderful thing.
So much of our food today gets harvested, put in a box, put in a truck, shipped a long way, goes to a warehouse, then goes to a store. Weeks go by, and then you finally get it. And then who knows when you're going to prepare it.
So community-supported agriculture. Check it out in your neighborhood. See if you've got something popping up, and get on a list and get your box of veggies once a week.
But what we read in this article was that this particular farm would supply a restaurant with food. That was their customer. And the restaurant closed.
Right.
And they had no customer.
Because of COVID-19.
And they were clever. And they scrambled very quickly and became affiliated with the CSA movement.
Right.
Consumer Supported Agriculture
Movement. Which
was very smart.
Right.
Yeah. Now, apparently there's some red tape involved where you have to sign up and get things going. But
there's always red tape.
For those farmers that are out there that are supplying restaurants, finding a way to supply people directly is the way to go, and the CSAs are the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's kind of a good thing coming out of this, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we got to spin these things a little positively, I think this is a positive thing. I think organic farming is a positive thing, and we want more of it. So,
yeah, well, organic farming of plant food is also the best thing for climate change.
Right. Let's keep moving
because
in that direction.
Industrial commercial farming needs to dig into the earth, pulling out carbon from petroleum and making petrochemical fertilizers and additives, soil additives and things to farm with, and herbicides and pesticides. And that carbon doesn't go back into the earth. A little bit does, but a lot of it goes out into the air, warms it up.
Well, this has been fun today and party week. What else are we going to talk about?
Party. Well, we just have a couple of minutes. So I just want to remind you, the Code Blue documentary is going to be available as of today on several platforms. I'm not sure what they are. I think Amazon Prime is one of them. And if you go to Code Blue Doc, you'll see which platforms are available for viewing. But please, please watch it.
Yeah. And check out our story, Karen's story on
the corn tortilla tutorial.
And check out our Halloween video for a great compliment to those corn tortillas that you're going to make at home.
Cashew fondue.
The fondue, can you fondue cashew fondue cheese that you sprinkle all over your tortillas that you made in your tortilla press after you read your tortilla tutorial on party week.
Gary, I want to wish you a very, very happy birthday week.
Thanks, Karen.
And a very, very happy birthday. I am very glad you were born.
Oh, that's really nice.
It's true.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And thanks for hanging out with me here in Queens, the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know that it's the epicenter anymore. I think we're doing a good job here sheltering in place.
Yeah,
we
are.
The numbers are going down.
The numbers are going down, but they're going up in other places because they're not doing such a good job.
Wash your hands, wash your hands.
Wash your hands with Dentine. No. Why did we just do that? That was not.
Okay, we're nutty. Yeah.
But it's party week, so anything goes today.
Anything goes.
Anything goes.
Okay, everybody. Speaking of anything goes, we're going to go.
Yeah. Are we taking off now?
I think we're taking off.
Okay. Well, let's party.
Let's party. Yes, everybody, let's party and
have a delicious week. See you next week. Thank you.